Shalom, everyone. Welcome to the mom meeting. How is everyone doing?
Shalom, everyone.
Very good.
Shalom, shalom.
I'm good here.
Anyone bad? Let's ask that.
Me.
How come?
I'd like to start off with a technical question.
Sure.
If I want to use a different name than DeBrizo, how do I change my name when I log in?
You should be able to go to File at the very top. Do you see File?
File, yes.
And then on mine, the first option is Edit Your Name and Email. Is that the same for you?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Let's see what happens here.
There you go.
Right. I was going to change it to TapTab, but that means the agitator formerly known as DeBrizo. So I decided not to do that.
Is anything not going well with anybody? Anything else? Any other technical questions about GoToMeeting? Any news? How's life? How's God?
Any views?
Any views? Any news? All of views? No?
Well, I guess the biggest news internationally is the horrible weather flooding in most of the world. I mean, it seems like every continent has got floods happening.
Yep. We've had some pretty record disasters recently. Probably in a couple months, it'll be our anniversary of the Letter to Humanity again, and we're going to review and see, did humanity do well this year? how are the disasters?
Pretty bad. No, we haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah. Oh.
That's not the good news, is it?
Well, I don't know if you all heard or read the projection by prominent eminent scientists that California will probably experience some tremendous storms. They didn't say when, but in the near future, based on the history of catastrophic storms that has hit the West Coast over the past two or three centuries or longer.
Yeah, I saw that in the news recently. Yes.
I also saw something which I thought was interesting, which is that a scientist released a study saying that the amount of dust in the atmosphere has increased dramatically over the last century, I think, and partly because of human activity and like increased mining, increased agriculture, less cover crop, and like more like losing dust and stuff, and also partly just because of natural changes in the earth. And it was saying that because of this dust, the earth has actually experienced a cooling effect because it's shielding the land from the sun. So like maybe global warming would be even more intense, but it's somewhat counterbalanced by that. I don't know. I was just thinking about that. So just another example of something is changing. Things are changing.
Well, I don't know if that's a new phenomenon. Look at archaeology. Why is it that every ancient civilization they uncover is buried under several feet of dirt? Where did that dirt come from? It wasn't there when they built the ancient cities.
That's true.
So somehow the earth keeps building up layers of dirt, and as they dig down into the substrata, they keep finding interesting things, which indicates that either at one time the earth was a lot skinnier, or things sink, or dirt settles from somewhere, and the planet's actually growing.
Or that some dirt has been moved from some places to other places by, like, weather and wind and stuff. Because, like, some places are deeper now than they used to be. But in any case, yeah.
But in the case of archaeologists, usually people who lived there vanished, so there was nobody was to take the dirt off. That's what they accumulated for a long time, most of the places, yeah.
Where did the dirt come from?
Yeah, there's always dirt in the air, for sure.
Well, I thought that was just at my house.
If you're complaining about dirt, then New Mexico is going to be even worse.
That's true. That is true.
Well, I noticed that the people feel that there's enormous lot of stress and pressure on them, and they don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah, mm-hmm, certainly.
So that pressure, I feel also the pressure, and I give a lot of help to people, and they're almost in panic. And it's en masse that they call for help, and they are so pressed and stressed, and it's enormous. But I feel that pressure also. I have to do a lot of meditation to stay in my center and to stay calm and be concentrated. And I think the pressure is in the atmosphere that people feel the things coming.
Well, Katharina, when you say stress, are you talking about atmospheric stress or psychic stress or
atmospheric stress. I'm talking about atmospheric stress, but the other people, they cannot call it like that. They don't know where it comes from. But I think it's atmospheric stress.
Well, it is prophesized that at the end times, people will run to and fro from place to place and not really know where they're going or why.
I think they are doing that at the moment. It's starting now. You know, they didn't finish up their personal issues last year. And people who didn't finish all those issues, they lost it at the moment. They're totally losing it.
Well, and I guess probably intuitively, people know that this mission is on Earth, too. And that presents a stress, and that's what's so wonderful about the opportunity we have to go out and share it, because I think being people that are willing to be connected to this and focus on it can be relieved from some of that stress if they will take up the job of helping, you know, working with the mission.
Yeah.
They
want to have something to hold on. They need a kind of leadership from somebody.
He's here.
Yeah. I know.
But they're not willing to listen yet to what he has to say. They want a leader, but apparently they don't want the truth just yet.
I have a question already long time. I think the Maitreya needs to answer this, I think. My question is, why do all prophets are men?
Well,
I believe that's on the website somewhere. Let me see if I can find it.
It's a good question. Why all the prophets are men?
Yes.
Good question. Yes. Anybody knows the answer?
Maybe in the past nobody wanted to listen to a woman?
Well, could it be because they've got nothing else to do?
It's called the division of labor. Have you ever heard in a society, in a organization, there is a division of labor that each is created for a specific tasks? I know probably it's a little politically incorrect to say the task of the woman and men are a little different from each other. And there are women that they are very smart and they're productive and they can manifest things. But if you look at the distribution of the normal distribution there is a different kind of a normal distribution for men and women, and therefore God chose to reveal the revelation to men. I was tempted to say because women don't listen. But no. just a joke.
I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say it too strong.
You don't think so, huh?
No, I don't think so. I'm a very good listener.
Yeah. That was just a joke. No, that is the way God decided to divide men and women. Men are supposed to go out there and fight and bring in, you know, the support and physiological and safety need, and women is supposed to become the center of the family and help to create a family that is based on God and become the comforter and the person that can make the family come together and become one. And therefore, it's just that's the way it is. And the West is questioning the way God has created this division of labor. For example, one of the things women like to speak, to like to talk to each other a lot. And I think God created that way so they can talk to the children, so children learn how to talk fast. So if you look at the creation that God created, man and woman, they have been created for the two different purpose and the reason for them to be here. That doesn't mean you have to put the woman down or exonerate the man, but they have different function to manifest. If either of them function according to what they have been created for, they will fulfill their obligation and create communities that is based on God's what God wants to do. Actually, according to our teaching, we have six couples that two or three of them stays behind to take care of the community. So even women are given opportunity to go out there and work if they want to, but if they don't want, they can stay home. So in a sense, in that sense, God choose men to become prophets, and they have never been a woman who...
They are coming closer and closer, starting to be the same creature. Why all prophets are men.
Yeah, that's what I was explaining to you. That's the way God decided.
I do understand that. But there's our evolutions. Mm-hmm. And my experience is that because of the influence of the cosmic influences, and it is like the roles are disappearing from the roles of a man and the abilities of a woman, they start to be the same. It's like an evolution. And I'm always wondering what will change, and that this role, splitting of those roles, will change.
That even evolution doesn't change the decisions of God.
It must be portable.
No, it's not deportable. It is, if a woman came and said something so truthful that everybody accepted that what she's saying is from God, then that's fine. We say she is from, prophet. But apparently that is not the way God works. The way God works is He chooses men. So Why then we have to go through the evolution, through the creation, through the decision that God has already made, and then we'd get to the nitty-gritty of it, and some of them politically at this time is not correct, and some people might object it if you bring it up to them. Women are created mostly to become a center of love and grace, and men are created to be logic and going out there and working hard to support the family. So this is the basic of God's decision. So when we see something in history happens over and over and God has done it, then we accept it as the God's will. We don't try to argue with it. We say, okay, that's the way God doing it. I hope that makes sense, does it?
Okay.
Actually, something that Maitreya has mentioned many times in satsangs is that many of the major prophets are accompanied by two women, usually, who are very influential in their lives and occupy an important part. So, for example, for Krishna, there was Shakti and Durga. Is that right?
Shakti, yeah.
And Durga. And they were very, like they're mentioned many times in the stories of Krishna. And for Christ, it was Mary and Martha, who were mentioned many times. And some people even think that they were his wives. And for Muhammad, it was Khadija and Aisha and others. So you can see that, you know, if you're worried about that, women also play a part in God's plan. But it was not the part of prophet. It was a different role.
Yeah, I can understand now. It works like a triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is a triangle. Yeah. I understand now how it works.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you for the answer.
It's not that God doesn't like women or doesn't want to include them. That's the way it's done. That's it.
I didn't doubt about it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Do I remember somewhere in there talking about androgynous and higher consciousness being both?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Actually,
most of if we believe that the prophet is in pure consciousness, then he is neither male, female. He has both. That's why in Hindu religion, they depict Krishna as a man which has the breasts like woman. So he is a man and at the same time woman. So it's androgynous. Absolutely.
Yes.
You're right.
And then, of course, in the beginning of Tho, in the explanation of Genesis, you know, it makes a very big deal of the point that it originally says that, God created humans, male and female created he them. And, of course, Maitreya explains that meant that the original human was, in fact, both, or had both aspects within them, and it was separated later. So when humanity was originally in the image of God, he became less in the image of God when he was separated into male and female.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, wonderful answer.
And in one level, there is no male or female. You know, in another level, there's dharma, and everyone does what their dharma is, and the male and female aspect is also another separation.
Yeah, it's earthly separation.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. And it has a purpose, but not to be attached to.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I took her question as why they come in the male body.
Right, yes.
But in a spirit and higher consciousness, there is not such a thing as male and female.
Mm-hmm. One of working persons here on Earth, I saw many times in a vision. The vision changed always. Then I saw him in a man, in a male shape, form, and the other time in a female. And I was always wondering, hey, why do I see it? Because I know who he is. But sometimes I saw him as a female. So the answer answers are very, very understandable.
Good.
Yeah. Thanks, God.
Actually, those who are male and female in the same body are the one that makes best sannyasin. The people who can dedicate their love completely to God.
Kind of like earthworms?
Yes.
Yeah, they're good ones, yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Exactly what I was thinking of. Uh-huh.
Were you really?
All sannyasins are required to be able to regrow themselves with their cut in half. So,
so we can, maybe we can change the name of the sannyasin to the look to the worm.
Earthworms. Uh-huh. Yeah,
earthworms. So, if anyone has anything, of course, please go ahead, but I thought it might be interesting to talk about the article that Maitreya sent out just a few days ago about diminishing returns. And I know that not everyone here probably received that. Like Katharina, you probably haven't seen it yet. It's going to go out in the next news brief. But the basis of it is the idea that if a person is meditated their whole life and is closely attuned to God and spiritual, they can realize when their time to go, to leave their body, is here, and they can allow it to happen peacefully and beautifully, basically, and be prepared to enter the next life. But that a lot of people now don't really understand that, and they aren't connected to God, so they hold on to the life even far after a time when they're useful in society or useful to humanity or have a purpose, really. And so the idea of the article is diminishing returns, that when society pays for people like that to stay alive, to stay alive in a way that's not natural, like giving them feeding tubes or performing hip surgery on people whose bodies are breaking down in general, it doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah.
And,
doesn't make any sense.
Well, and Arvon just, Vibrizo just wrote that I read that as a justification for euthanasia, and that's exactly why I wanted to talk about this, to make sure that everyone understands the distinction between euthanasia and diminishing returns.
No way.
And actually, we saw an article the other day about a couple who were 86 years old and 89 years old, and they were in poor health, and they decided they didn't want to live anymore. So they forced a fast. They refused food for 12 days and died. And Maitreya has said from the very beginning very strongly and pointedly that suicide is never acceptable, and that is a form of suicide. And we're not saying if you are living in a normal way, eating, drinking, walking around, and you alive, then you're supposed to be alive. But if the unnatural forms were taken from you and you died, then do you understand the difference?
Mm-hmm.
this 86 and 89 year old apparently had not fulfilled their karma yet, or they would have been able to leave their bodies. But they forced it to happen. And that's not the same thing as looking at your own situation and seeing that your life has fulfilled its dharma and that clearly in a spiritual sense you're ready to go. It's not the same thing. So does anyone have any discussion about that or questions about that?
Yes, I have urgent question. I'm present most of the time when people suffer from cancer and they are dying. And sometimes they suffer so horrible from pains, they cannot die. They lay there with foam on their mouths, shaking their heads, and they cannot die. They lay there for days, suffering. And then it is not human to let them suffer like that. And for me, it's very, very kind to help them to die a little sooner, just 3 days sooner, to prevent them from suffering that bad.
Well, the question is, Maitreya has said that, you know, allowing people the most comfortable death possible is fantastic. So using painkillers or other methods of comfort and hospice and stuff like that is perfectly acceptable in order to reduce their suffering. But the fact is that we have no idea what the situation of that person is in terms of karma. What did they do their life? What did they do their past life? Is this suffering that they don't deserve, or maybe they did something that allows that? And if they have not died yet, we cannot be the judge and say, it is your time to go. We can make them as comfortable as possible. We have been given the tools by God to do so. But it is not our place. It is not the human's place to decide when someone dies. Is that correct, Maitreya? Does that sum it up?
Yeah, well, basically we believe that people should die naturally, but comforted as much as we could. Any unnatural interference with the process is not a godly way to do it. So you have to let naturally people die, and hopefully in the future, in the comings of light, people have meditated so much, by the time the death comes, it's a natural transition instead of still being so attached to this external world that they, at the age of 90, they want to transplant, they want to put in the tube, they want to spend millions of dollars on them when they really are not that productive for the society. That kind of the resources should be spent for the young people, which have a future, the future of the society. But the old people at that time should realize it's their time to go and very naturally accept it, take care of their business. It doesn't mean that you should kill them if they are old, but then they're at least healthy and go around and eat and breathe and all that. But when the time comes and they are in the deathbed, you just have to comfort them and then let them go.
Yeah.
If you do not agree, go ahead. Tell me why not.
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
People who have cancer, usually in certain kinds of cancers, they will die anyway. Everybody around them knows this person will not make it. And then the doctors, they start to treat them and push them and press them to get chemo and everything. And me personally, I'm not so happy about that. Sometimes I think if people have so much cancer in the body, just let them go.
Mm-hmm.
But
doctors
seem to... Yeah. And here they get a horrible time with the doctors because almost all medical treatments, they are forcing the people to take all those treatments.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood, and my decision is always, if I get cancer, I get cancer. That's finish line, ready, no problem.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what we're saying. Like, if someone has cancer, this is a great way to make the distinction. If someone has cancer and it's terminal, if they are not going to survive, do not kill them. Do not give them a lethal injection. That's unnatural. But do not continue forcing treatment on them that just makes them miserable just for a few more months of life. That is also unnatural. Allow it to take its course naturally. Make them as comfortable as possible, of course, and do everything you can to ease the move, but refrain from unnatural actions on either side. Do not take the life too early, and do not prolong it in a way that just doesn't help anyone. I'd say that about sums it up.
Well, let me add something to that, Noor. And this is going to be difficult for me. I may not be able to finish this. I watched my wife die 4 years ago of cancer that they decided that they couldn't cure. So all they did was give her drugs to ease the pain. So she died after a few months of lying in the hospital, and the pain continues with those who what's going on. So dying is not a simple matter of karma or when the time is right. It's the effects go far beyond the person that dies. And that's all I have to say about that.
Well, we understand the emotional part of being, you know, with someone and being attached to each other and all that. But the way of God is not emotional. The way of God is the truth of all situations. For instance, in your situation, if we had the communities of light and you were living communities of light and you had so many other connections with the people around you, and you both have meditated all your life, and when the time comes, you would know that she would come back, and you will come back, and you meet each other, I think the pain would have been much, much less than you experienced. And one of the reasons a lot of people want to prolong their life is kind of they're afraid of death. So it's kind of the enlightenment brings the ability not to be attached with the things of this world and know that everything is temporary. All of us gonna die. So if you become emotional about it, then it's gonna stay with you for the rest of your life. And if you don't realize it this lifetime, you have to pick it up next lifetime. That's the way it is. So we understand your emotion is deep and you love your wife and that is great, but you have eventually to overcome that attachment and realizing she's going to be back. That's God's way of doing it. Maybe God did that. This is that way for a reason for you to recognize and realize. And now I'm telling you this thing. Maybe if you meditate on that, it's going to help you to realize that the creation of the communities and following eternal divine path and recognizing the way of God and being surrendered to it is the way of overcoming any hurt or deep emotional, you know, scars. Does it make sense?
That's logical. It makes sense. But the emotions are not to logic.
I know. Well, that is going to be a lot of problem on Earth is because of emotions. If all the human overcome their emotions, we wouldn't have a lot of problem we have on Earth right now. And of course, as you said, emotion doesn't have logic. And no matter how logically explained to the to emotion is that's how it feels. The only thing I can suggest is meditate deeper, meditate more. So eventually you can bring the logic of God through yourself and let the emotion just dissipate and go away.
Actually, I had an experience where my sister, my older sister, died when I was 18. She died in a tragic motorcycle accident, and I was 18 years old. And was that a wake-up call? Was that a, oh my golly, a spur to try to figure out what exactly are we here for? And knowing now what I know, it's really okay, because probably she was finished with what she needed to learn in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. And that gives me peace to think that.
It's definitely a complex subject.
Mm-hmm. We watched a cat die here just a couple weeks ago. We watched a cat that we'd been with for years and years and years, and it was very natural, and the cat just kind of stayed quiet and stopped eating and stopped drinking and just wanted to sleep more. And we brought her in the meditation room, and and she was all cuddled up, and she died, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was absolutely very natural. There was no pain there. It was very beautiful.
It's just like with everything else in the mission. It all fits together, and each part is not really complete without the rest, you know. If everyone eats naturally, eats fresh, local, organic food, and doesn't do things like smoking and drinking a lot, and, you know, all of those things, and meditates, does yoga, makes themselves strong physically, mentally, and spiritually, takes care of themselves, I have a feeling that the amount of things like people dying of agony and cancer would be reduced by tenfold, 99%. And then add to that the fact of living in a community where you have a support group where people can help each other and, you know, and be free of the stress of, you know, being alone, the loneliness, you know, that releases a lot of the stress. And the idea of meditating your whole life and having that community and the whole support system and basing your whole life around progress in God, that allows everyone to understand the concept of death better. Mm-hmm. And it just goes on and on and on, you know. And once everything fits together, then the essay that Maitreya writes makes absolutely perfect sense. Because it fits with all the rest.
I tell people always from, you'll make a whole farce of dying and you're so upset about death. But I never hear you being upset about birth. And nobody to look on his watch and on the calendar says, oh, well, let's baby call now, because it's so convenient for us. So for me, birth, death, for me it's the same.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see the difference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Death is a birth. Death is another form of birth.
I know it's not a form of birth, but...
No, he says it is. He says death is another form of birth.
Is another form of birth. Okay, yeah, to the other side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I don't understand people that are so upset because... everybody who's born here on Earth has to leave after a while.
That's right.
But people are not prepared, and they do not understand, and they suffer because they're so attached, and they suffer so much because of that.
Well, we're not living naturally in communities, and I think in communities... that connection, like I just know for myself when I was living in the community in New Mexico and even still feeling that connection from far away, it just makes such a difference having the other people there that you know you're bonded with, that, you know, so if you do have a husband or wife and they pass, you're not alone, you know, just by yourself. So
right.
It just makes a big difference.
So Maitreya's teachings in Wei has great compassion for, you know, it's not necessarily, we're not saying it's an easy time for many people, especially in the situation, but he gives the truth in order to make it easier and the support system to help, you know, when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So it all fits together, as always.
Yep, selfish living and putting God out create uncomfortable problem for humanity, and the answer is the eternal divine path, communities of light, awakening of the spiritual forces, knowing yourself, sacrificing, surrender and submit yourself to the will of God, and expand yourself to know that God is everything. That is the solution. And then follow the way of God. The way of God is children should be, you know, supported, educated, they spend money on and create children that are fantastic for the society. They become productive member and they do great things when they become, you know, to grow up. And when the time comes to go, say, okay, thank you very much, God, it was great. Time to go. That doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That is the God's way.
It does. It does.
And probably more and more as the communities of light continue, it seems like people might still be, you know, hurting because they lose someone they love so much. But mm-hmm. I think that that grieving will pass quicker, you know.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, because of community.
Because you have a lot of support. You have a lot of people that right. still love you. And there are other people you still love. So.
But I think if you have a true understanding of the creation of the body and the vehicle, mm-hmm. and understand how it works, I mean, especially with that chapter of Universe and Man, you have a respect for the body and understand its purpose, but you're not connected to it as far as the realizing that that's not you and that in the higher sense, you know, that's it's only there for a purpose, a temporary purpose, and your goal is beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
May I ask a question about a conceptual problem I have with the concept of God?
Sure.
Okay, well, in your writings, you define God as formless, invisible,
nameless,
and eternal,
mm-hmm.
Which means that it's not in a form that we would... that we would recognize as being anything related to human. And I kind of look at it as a micro-macro concept. If you look at the human body, it's composed of many cells which form groups of organs and have specific functions, and all the cells have to act in accordance with each other for the body to function properly, but we are not aware of the actions and functions of each individual cell until something goes wrong. So my concept of God is this huge body, and the physical world that we're aware of, including the universe, all the planets and things that we see in the universe, are equivalent to cells in the body of God. So let's say that the solar system that we occupy is a cell in the body of God, and we're on one of the little molecules within that cell, and we're probably in the same status as bacteria is to the human body. So I don't understand how God would be aware of our individual circumstances and have particular plans or desires for us individually, or even as a species, when if God is this universal entity, wouldn't even be aware of our existence as long as we function properly. Only when this bacteria that we call life on this planet forms a problem or creates a problem would this universal entity become aware of it. So when you talk about God giving specific instructions to man, I have a hard time accepting that because I don't think we're that important in the overall scheme of things. End of question.
Wow. Sure. Mm-hmm. That's a loaded question. Anybody have the answer for that?
I think I do, and I just typed in, on Allah. I am God. So the answer is that it's all God. I mean, it there's no separation in there. If the baseline is consciousness and three gunas, then everything around us is just crucified consciousness, so it's all God. So there's the highest understanding of all of that is on Allah.
Okay.
Actually, in the original, at the very beginning, before creation, that's kind of how it was, wasn't it? That's why Maitreya has said that God was in a state of perfect beingness and did not become aware of the darkness until it was darkness. And so I kind of see a relationship in that sense, that when he was in the state of perfect beingness and perfect balance, that's kind of how it happened, that it was not an awareness until something went wrong. But that's all I have to say. But, and someone else.
I'm not sure if I consider it going wrong. I just consider it inevitable, in the same as in the chapter of these things are given to us and we're not to argue with them. There's just two sides. There's two sides. There's the Venus, and then there's always another side. God always has two sides. And the other side was the movement or desire. We talked about that. I just see it as the other side. I mean, there's a side of the formless, invisible, nameless, eternal, and then there's the side of creation, which to me is also eternal, and it's also inevitable. It's just the result of that, like it had to move or whatever you want to say, you really can't argue about or understand it. It just happens.
You mean the darkness?
In a way, because if it's all God, I don't see it. I see it now as we're in that separation and we don't want to be in that separation, but I don't think it was, if it was avoidable or the reason, when we had some discussions over when we go back to the beginning and say in the beginning and then there was movement or there was desire or there was creation, kind of in the idea of, I've always liked the, in the back in the supplements, the talk about the nature of the universe was infinitely progressive. So I see the separation at times and the creation as being infinitely progressive, in that there, in the highest sense, it's all happening within that pure consciousness. But in the other sense, it's inevitable that the creation and the creation would be infinitely progressive. So I don't think of it as
So the darkness never going to finish?
I don't know if it's illusion. It's illusion in the idea that our consciousness is in the illusion of separation. So I don't know if I would call that darkness illusion.
So what do you call the fallen angels?
Again, it's all part of, I don't know, part of the if it's inevitable, if it's the creation that is the other side of pure consciousness.
But the natural state of the universe is the pure consciousness.
Yes, and if
it's that natural, any other state is what?
Illusion of separation is kind of the other illusion of separation, but within that is also the creativity or the evolution of the darkness set to the light.
So what is the purpose of meditation and go back to the pure consciousness? Then it is, that's the way it is. So we accept it and we go around. We don't have to create the communist of light, and we go all our ways, and we have all these problems with everybody. So what? That's the way it is.
No, you don't want to stay in that illusion of separation, because there's suffering in there. But
So the goal is go back to the pure consciousness. Go back to where we came from.
Yes, to get past the illusion of separation.
Separation, yeah, exactly. Good.
So
all right.
Then you would have to say that darkness is not inevitable then, is that correct? It's not inevitable because we can go back to the state of beingness. But if we go back to the state of beingness, is it the same as it was before? Is it I'm sorry, I was stating something and asking something at the same time. I didn't mean to be confusing there, but I guess the first thing I should say then, the darkness is not inevitable, right?
I don't think, I'm saying inevitable as part of, it's. I'm thinking of in some ways as being an illusion, because if the beingness is the highest state, and that really is the state of the universe, natural state of the universe, and then the unit consciousness is in a state of illusion of separation. So we're only in the illusion of separation. So within that illusion, to me, that a certain amount of that, we're in it. We know it's not real, but it's a relative reality.
Yeah, and also that illusion is as powerful as
God,
the desire to go to God or God himself. Therefore, there are beings that they don't want to go back. because right. that illusion to them is the reality.
Well, if everything is God, how can we go back to God if we never leave God? I'm still saying that all this makes sense only if the earth is the only place where life exists. But I don't believe that that's likely. I believe there's life forms at other places in the universe. So my original question was, is this universal God that permeates everything, this consciousness that covers the entire universe, which I'm saying is the body of God, and we're a very, very, very small infinitesimal part of it. We're probably a bacteria on a cell. Why would this universal consciousness be concerned with our state of being?
No, he's not.
I didn't think so.
that is why I was going to answer the question. I thought maybe somebody else can answer it. But we went away from answering your questions. Your questions has been answered in, first of all, as Brad said, we are God. Therefore, we are not unimportant. We are not that important that we think we are, but we are not that unimportant either. That you, Robert, you said we are not important. God doesn't care. Actually, the whole purpose of creation is to come to a point like us that we can return back to the pure consciousness of Godhead. Therefore, we are very important. And that's why God is putting so much effort, sending prophets, sending revelation, sending the teachings, and showing the way to go back. And therefore, if we weren't important, why should he care? Now, you're talking God doesn't care because his pure consciousness, and therefore he is completely absorbed to himself, and he doesn't care about anything but we do. In one sense, you are right. God is in actually three states of being. One state is complete absorbed to itself as pure consciousness, and anything out of, if you can say something out of him, which is not, out of him is there is no concern of him. There is another level of consciousness in God that eventually recognizes the darkness and engage it itself to guiding it back to pure consciousness. That is the part that he created a system, a way to help the darkness go back to God, and that's why he sent the spirit to the darkness and eventually came up with the eternal divine path and now is revealed to us. And the third level, he used his own body to create the creation, therefore he can guide those who fell back to pure consciousness. Therefore, when you're talking about he's not concerned because he's everything and he's beyond the creation, you're right. Then people say, no, he's concerned and also he has created the creation and he is very concerned and do all these things to help humanity. They are right. And then somebody says, God is everything and even this solar system is God, they are right too. But they have to realize the different levels of Godhood. If you realize that, you recognize, yeah, it's possible. And also, we are not just flesh or those cells. We are also connected with the whole creation of, you know, lokas and koshas. If you read that book that Brad mentioned, The Universal of Man, you will see man is much more complicated than just flesh. So you see that you can see that your great creation, that's where Prophet Muhammad said, Tabarakallahu Ahsanul Khaliqin, means greatest creation by God is human and man. There might be some other beings that might be similar to us, but also they have the ability to reach the consciousness. Now, if the other beings live in the other planets, the possibility is great, and if we find ever find them, then we will know they exist. A lot of people, they say they have seen them, they have talked to them, they have, you know, they have been abducted by them and all that, but nobody have really brought any concrete evidence, yes, there is somebody there. So if they ever did it, we accept it because it's in, because life is everywhere. If it's life is everywhere, therefore life can evolve in other places. I hope that answers your question. If you didn't, go ahead.
No, that's the answer I expected, actually, because when I asked the question, I already expected that would be the answer. The but the other aspect of my question is, and you just touched on it a few seconds ago, is that it's to me that humans are the ultimate in God's creation, or are there entities that are more advanced than us that are also part of the creation? In other words, is there a non-physical entity that that also has consciousness?
Well, that is the thing that we have to prove it. If I say yes, it's not proven. If I say no, if somebody, you know, finds and prove it later on, then I didn't say the truth. And but the I can put it this way: the possibility that the life exists in other planets is much more than not, because there are billions of planets are just in our solar, in our Milky Way, in our galaxy. And there are millions of billions of galaxies. So it's just like if an infinite monkey, you know, type infinitely in an infinite typewriter, eventually they come up with something that makes sense. If that many planets and Earth-like, which is now finding every day, they're finding Earth-like planet in many solar, you know, systems and in Milky Way and other galaxies. So the possibility that there is a similar or close to the Earth condition exists somewhere, it's pretty high. So I look at that also God is working with them, and probably there's another Maitreya there telling them what the eternal went on.
I mean,
well, maybe we go there and tell them about it. Mm-hmm.
Like, as I understand it, the reason that humanity is the ultimate creation is because humanity has the ability to follow the eternal divine path and return to God. It's not because we are physical flesh beings with two arms and two legs. The only reason we are the ultimate creation is because we have the ability to fulfill the purpose of creation. Like, there's no point in making us faster and stronger and, like, intellectually smarter if we cannot fulfill the purpose of creation. We have now reached a point evolutionarily that we have that ability, which is not to say that we might not improve further, but I think that is probably what is meant when it says we are the ultimate creation. So, like, could there be non-beings, like, totally different from us that also have the ability to follow the eternal divine path and return to God? I would think so. You know, scientists just found a couple months ago an organism in a lake in California that can substitute arsenic for potassium, I think, in their basic building blocks. And before that, every single organism science had ever heard of used four basic building blocks, and now they found something that doesn't. So it just threw their theory completely off. And so it's not that we are the ultimate because of how we look or our makeup. It's because of what we can do. And so, yeah, I mean, who knows what we'll find. If they can reach the eternal divine path, they are also the ultimate creation. Right?
Well, Catherine used the phrase, passed over to the other side. So I'm taking that as a reference to the spiritual world that's on this planet, not some other planet. So actually my question was, you know, beyond the human existence, is there an other side where we become spirit, where we become conscious spirit? after death, since that seemed to be the topic for tonight. After we die, are we still a conscious spirit?
I think everything is there. I don't think you change when you die, that you're suddenly somebody else, but you will connect with your higher self, and everything you have been in your previous reincarnations, and you will melt together with the higher self if you're able to, if you are, your consciousness is high enough. And you can be the spirit complete on the highest level what is possible for you. I think you're just doing a big job on this world temporarily. What is necessary you are doing. You can't do everything together in one lifetime, so you need several lifetimes. And if you are connected with the God consciousness, you are inspired by your higher self what to do here. And if you do that, and you do the ultimate, you can melt together on a quite high level. I think if people die, everybody goes somewhere else. We don't go to the same part. We have at least seven heavens, I always say. And you go to your own level, what is possible for you. Your consciousness. You are a consciousness. And that is what you are, the reality. And that decides where you go, how you live, where you are, and how close you can be to the God consciousness. It depends all on you.
Well, can go to the...
Go ahead.
We can go to the scriptures. I mean, the way that Maitreya explains death is that once you die, you return, like, you...
Close.
Like...
It's at the info.
Say it again?
It's like changing your clothes.
Changing your
much.
Clothes.
It's like somewhere in the clothes.
Because...
A very deep sleep.
Before creation... The consciousnesses were still individual, they were just not manifested. Well, never mind, that's getting intellectual.
it's, we're here to be intellectual. And even Maitreya said earlier that, you know, when we die, we'll meet up with the loved ones who passed before us, and there's no need to fear death because we'll meet those that we loved. So that implies to me that there's some aspect of our cells that retains consciousness after it leaves the physical body.
Well, I think what Maitreya actually said was that in your next life you may meet them again.
Oh, I hope not. She's going to start picking on me again.
No, actually, go ahead, Maitreya.
Robert, if it has the attribute of this creation, if you can touch it, test it, feel it, see it, it's not ultimate. It's just like you ask, if I fall asleep, when I'm asleep, I'm going to change to someone else or something else. Then you fall asleep, then you wake up, you still are the same person. Now, if the condition of Earth or the physical world changes, you might, in an evolutionary process, change to some different form. And if you continue to progress spiritually, you still can reach pure consciousness in that form. But your consciousness is not going to change. When you sleep, when you die, when you awake, it's the same thing. It never changed before. It's not going to change now. It's not going to change forever. And the ultimate goal is not go to the heaven that you meet your family or loved ones. Because if you can see something tangible, if it looks, tests, if anything, still it is a creation. It's not the ultimate, it's not pure consciousness. But if you are incarnated back and she is incarnated back, you will meet. I hope she learned her lesson. She's not going to pick on you.
That'd be great. she certainly was able to identify my faults very well. But I loved her anyhow. It didn't make any difference. She was trying to make me into a better person, which was a losing battle.
Joins the Communists of Light with her, she learns her lesson pretty fast.
Maitreya?
Yeah?
Is learning on Earth, is that a fast way or a slow way? Where do we learn the most in this process on Earth, what I guess we do, or on the other side, when we are not so embodied?
You learn best and fastest in the Communists of Light, and if you meditated all your life and you live in the Communists of Light and still you something have to work on, then you die, that part of you will exaggerate it for you, and it will be told that what your problem was in that life, and when you come back, you have a memory of it from that period you have been dead, and therefore next lifetime is going to be hopefully a bit easier if you stay in the Communists of Light, follow the eternal divine path. So your progress is mostly accelerated in the Communists of Light and remembering what was told you when you are in that state of death. So the next life you will accelerate your progress. Make sense?
Yeah, a lot of sense. Thank you.
Good. All right, I guess in that note we can change, finish the meeting to here. How about that?
Sure. We
And you and Brad are going to go to work tomorrow, huh?
Yes. Brad, do you have any questions about that, or you're all set? Pick me up and stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to read up on organic earthworms.
You better. Yes. Great. So yeah, if there's anything that, you know, if you need directions or anything like that, just stay after the meeting is over. Otherwise, that was a great meeting, guys. So
yes.
Thanks, God. And
could I just throw one thing in to Brad?
Sure.
Hey, Brad?
Yes.
You know, you and I corresponded briefly by email, and you said your father was coming up to New Mexico. How does he like New Mexico?
Yeah, he was here. He was here for a couple of weeks, and he's gone back to Ohio with my sister, and he liked it. But I haven't been back yet to really. I give him some time to think about it, and then. But also had to do with we're still up in the air on the sale of the property, which might accelerate the process. But I still haven't really sat down with him to see what he wants to do. And what I'm going to be trying to do is to talk to him moving out this way. But the earliest any of that would happen as far as moving back this way would probably be late fall next year. But I'm still kind of in the whole process of letting this trip out here sink in with him. And he did say he liked it here and felt comfortable here. So I really haven't put him back on the plane. He went back to he's probably frozen solid to the porch railing by now.
Yeah.
And he wishes he was out here.
That's the hope.
Me too.
But
you're frozen solid to the porch railing.
But I am going to be back in Pennsylvania probably towards the end of February, and I won't have anything as far as work coming up until sometime in May, and so maybe we can get together where I can come down to meet you, or we can meet halfway or whatever, because I'm not that far away from you when I'm back east.
What part of Pennsylvania?
I'm almost in Maryland, so it's I don't know if you know where Cumberland, Maryland is.
Yeah, when I go to Connecticut, I live in Virginia, and I go to Connecticut to see my daughter occasionally. I usually go up to Maryland, 301, up through Delaware, or I go up through Pennsylvania, up through Gettysburg, and then cut over to...
That's pretty close. We live south of Bedford, but Bedford's about 25 miles north, but it's the closest Pennsylvania city. But I actually live closer and do most of my business in Cumberland, Maryland, so that's pretty close to that route.
All right, well, we'll keep in touch, and I may be able to make a detour on my spring trip to Connecticut and stop by and visit you.
Yeah, you could come up on the side of the mountain, and we can throw snowballs at the deer.
Okay, well, hopefully there won't be too much snow there when I get there. Anyhow, yeah, okay. You're not that far out of my way on my monthly trip to Connecticut. Good.
All right. Anything else anyone needs to settle?
Well, since we're having this talk, Arvon, I got in touch with you because you had emailed me that Maitreya gave you my email address, and I looked it up on the map, and we are about 6 hours away from each other, just so you know. Greensboro is kind of a meeting point, and I also throw that in. I don't know what Brad's plans are on the way back, but anyways, you know, at any point, you know, I am also, I mean, you know, whatever way that, you know, I can be helpful if you want to meet or whatever, I'm also here. So
I might just take a ride down the Blue Ridge Parkway. Asheville is one of my favorite cities in North Carolina, so I just might go all the way down to Asheville.
Okay, awesome, awesome. Anything like that. Anybody's welcome here from the mission whenever they're coming, going, whatever. So.
Tomorrow I travel from Europe to Mexico, to Cancun.
Hmm.
Nobody there in the neighborhood.
Maybe you can become a contact.
I could be. Catherine, are you bringing any cookies, by any chance?
I can bake cookies tonight.
Oh,
almost 4 o'clock.
She got you.
I'm also learning how to speak Spanish, so this is just to work out.
I'll learn very fast. But I travel to Cancun, and then I go to Playa del Carmen for a moment, and then I start to travel to Yucatan, through Yucatan.
Good, good, good.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Alrighty then. I think we can go ahead and end the meeting here and let people go. If anybody has anything to talk about like that, like things between two people, if you guys just, like, let me know that you want the room to stay open for a bit and discuss it, just let me know, and, like, we can let people go, and then you guys can talk, you know. And that way it all works out. And this room is also available for, you know, services, uses for the mission. So if you guys need to meet or something and you don't want to do it on Pal Talk, just let us know. We can set up a room. So, yeah. Great meeting, guys, and thank God for coming, and see you guys next month. Salam, everyone.
Salam, everyone.
Salam.
Salam.